What if someone you lost who had died returned? This episode of AfterBuzz TV is brought to you by the powerful and riveting new drama, Resurrection. You won't be able to stop watching or talking about it. Resurrection premiering on Sunday night, March 9th at 9, 8 Central, only on ABC. You're not going to want to miss it.
Caleb Richards died 2001. Jacob Langston died 1982. Rachel Braidwood died 2000.
On Sunday, March 9th.
I'm coming home.
They will return.
Daddy!
Jacob.
Resurrection.
How is this possible?
The television series event premieres Sunday, March 9th on ABC.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Banshee After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Banshee After Show.
Hey there! Fanshees, Fanshee Nation, how are you? This is Matt Lieberman and Oriel Analeo.
Hello.
Yes, we're here talking about Banshee Season 2, Episode 7, Ways to Bury a Man. We're really excited. It's a great episode. But first, really quickly, I just want to throw, we got Christian and Phil over in the booth, and they want to tell you about this great new show. You just heard a promo for it. We're just going to talk a little bit more about it. It's called Resurrection. It's on ABC, so let's throw that to them.
All right, Phil, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Say you had an unfortunate loss, you know, loss of a family member or a best friend, and, you know, you're naturally devastated, depressed because someone you care deeply about. All of a sudden, you have a knock on your door. You open the door, and there's that person.
I can only imagine what that would be like. That sounds crazy.
I mean, you're in a roller coaster of emotions, right?
Absolutely.
So in the town of Arcadia, Missouri, that's happening. Their residents that passed away in the small town are suddenly coming back to life in this brand new series on ABC called Resurrection.
Oh, I think I've heard of that. I've seen the billboards on the 405 for that. Yeah, it looks really interesting. I've seen the trailers, too.
Yeah, it's following this 8-year-old named Jacob, and he reunites with his parents. Here's the thing. Jacob died 32 years ago.
I know. That sounds so crazy. And Omar Epps finds him, correct?
Oh, yeah. Omar Epps finds him trying to uncover the mystery because, I mean, look, we've seen lots of TV shows that are about zombies or about vampires. This is a whole different concept.
Yeah, I know. When I saw the trailers, I was really excited for it. Again, it's so new, and I'm really, you know, I've heard a lot of great things from other AfterBuzzers as well, and so I'm excited to see this. And, you know, the critics are saying it's powerful, riveting.
Well, you don't have to wait much longer because Sunday, March 9th at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central Time, it premieres on ABC, Resurrection. And, of course, you know AfterBuzz is going to do an after show for it.
Oh, I should probably know that. I do run the network.
You run the network, so you probably have it prepared. I'm probably just giving you information you already know.
We will definitely be doing it in that case.
Well, yeah, you got to make sure you tune in, because I'm excited for this show. I love Omar Epps. Kirkwood Smith also in it from That 70s Show. It sounds
amazing.
Like a good cast, a really unique concept of a new show, Resurrection. It's premiering March 9th at 9 o'clock on ABC. Check it out.
All right. Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for coming in. You know, I can't wait for this show. I'm doing the after show for
Sweet.
It. I've been looking forward to it for a while. Michelle Fazekas, Tara Butters, who created the show. They also did Reaper on CW a few years back. They wrote for Dollhouse on Fox. I love everything they do, so I'm totally excited for that. But we're here to talk about Banshee.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. So, as of, you know, last week, we ended with this intense Mr. Burton cleaning sesh after Kai totally garrots and, like, basically decapitates Jason Hood while he's inside of his niece.
Ugh.
Gross.
Gross.
I'm like, we're talking about this like ABC show that's like, you know, supernatural and probably really cool and like, but also like doesn't have people getting murdered while they're inside someone.
Yeah.
We
were kind of, we were giggling like little girls in today's episode or Friday's episode rather, but it's amazing what Banshee's done to us as viewers, where we just giggle with glee every time the characters erupt in senseless violence.
We get reduced to, like, giggling children as we're just watching these fights of just, like, I love this crazy, ridiculous world. It doesn't have to make sense.
No, I love it.
But we open this week on Rebecca, who is literally watching her sexual partner get ground into hamburger.
Yes.
And it was so disturbing.
And she's having flashbacks of their sex. And then, you know, Kai and
right.
And
it's all his power together. Struggle.
And then literally the meat mixing together in front of them. And he's making her watch this.
Yeah.
This is like the continuation of his power.
Exactly. Well, it's like he's trying to teach her this lesson and make sure she never forgets it. She's going to be scarred for life. And then she's like in front of the mirror, like half like detached, like ready to kill herself or like shoot her reflection and all this self-hatred.
It makes me wonder, too. I thought Kai was maybe the good guy from rescuing her from her deranged, you know, family.
Yeah.
And that whole, the whole Amish situation and how cold and cruel that was to her. But he just doles out his old cold cruelty to her.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Like, he's no better than they are.
Oh, no.
He's worse.
Being off the reservation didn't make him a better person.
Right.
It just, you know, it allows him to be a worse person.
It sure does.
It allows him to do more damage. And just because he tweeted it this week, I'm proud to say Greg Utanas said that my take on Rebecca's backstory is correct. She, you know, she went on Rumspringa.
Right.
She came back, thought that she could hack it. And we got Manus on the line. Manus Rose joining us from Arizona. You there, Manus?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I stopped midway at the Forge, grabbed myself a couple of cocktails, and now I'm back here, but thank you.
All right. Cool, man. We were just talking about Rebecca still kind of processing everything that went down at the end of last episode.
Oh, big. Yes, big change. We really got to see, you know, she really decided what she wants in life. We got to, you know, I mean, she kind of accepted.
Decided what she wants. She wants her sexual partners to not get garroted when they're inside of her. That's what she wants. She doesn't want to feel that way. She wants to die.
Yeah, she seems like she's so confused that she's literally playing with suicide at this
point. Yeah, just to feel something.
Yeah.
Oy vey's, Mira.
But she's so scared, I feel. You know, she's not crying to share a hood. You know, she's keeping it all hidden, so it really does seem that she's just going to accept her fate now.
Right. I think it took something that extreme for her to finally recognize that, you know, she is not the same as her uncle.
Right.
But for her to survive, she will have to be. And the thought of that is terrifying. Because, like, you know, she accidentally killed the mayor in the season finale last year. And she still hasn't completely processed that. But I think on some level she was like, well, that's, you know, it could have been an accident. He just could not have been there. You
sure.
know, Uncle Kai, he does some bad things, but ultimately he's okay. Not okay.
Yeah, she can't put that, like, you know, unsee what she saw.
Yeah.
You know, nothing can be put back in the box. She can't go back to her family. Like, nothing can be undone that's been done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a real awakening for her. That's a real, you know, that's that moment where you grow up.
Yeah.
And I think that that's got to be very scary for her.
Yeah. I mean, the moment you recognize that you have no power over your situation whatsoever.
Terrifying.
But they want to make it a point. I feel she doesn't completely love it, but I feel she enjoys the luxury. We get to see Kai's huge mansion. We get to see, you know, she's having a nice pool day in her sexy bikini, you know, her nice little continental breakfast in the morning. I'm sure she enjoys all of those luxuries.
Well, she did enjoy them in season one. Remember when Kai was kind of inviting her to his home? And I think in this episode, it kind of illustrated that it's the trapping.
It's not worth
it. It's not worth it. It's a trap.
I feel and like that toast turned to ash in her mouth.
Yeah. Like, it's a cage.
Yeah. You know, it's a gilded cage. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's very beautiful, but ultimately that is what it is. She can't go anywhere. She can't make any choices for herself.
And Sheriff Hood says that, where he goes, this is your choice.
Yeah.
Like, this was your choice, and when I come for him, I come for you.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have any sympathy for her.
Not at all.
But why? Because why does he care about Jason Hood?
Well,
this is the ultimate question. Does he care about Jason Hood, or is it what he represents?
I think it's a couple of things. You know, he actively worked really hard to keep this kid alive. When he could have let him die, he could have killed him himself. You know, there is a level of responsibility that I think the sheriff feels for Jason because of his father's death, because he took his father's identity, and the discovery that he is a father himself. He can't be a parent to his own daughter, but at the very least, he can be a parent to this kid whose father's life he stole.
I totally agree with you. I think it's much more about misplaced loyalty and mm-hmm. parental loyalty.
Oh, absolutely.
Than it is about this kid, because this kid was nothing.
He was a screw up.
Pain in the butt.
He was a pain in the butt. But, you know, he was going to get away and potentially have a better life, and he had maybe, just maybe, learned some smidgen of a lesson, and now he's dead for no reason other than he
didn't get on the train?
Yeah.
He couldn't follow instructions?
Well, no, it's just he didn't stay in the room. It's because he couldn't, I mean, just another example, just keep it in the pants. Just don't do it. I don't care how pretty she is. Her uncle might be a gangster who's effing crazy. This is just a life lesson. Banshee is full of life lessons. Mm-hmm. He's really upset because it's been a long time since he's brought a lot of pain to a lot of people, and a lot of trouble has followed in his wake. And finally, he was going to be doing something altruistic that was going to work.
Right.
It was done. It was a done deal. It was over. And now that victory kind of got taken from him, and now he's responsible for yet another death as he's, like, trying to recover from all this other stuff. And now it's just, it's on.
Yeah.
And I loved seeing Sheriff Hood get back into let's take down Kai mode, into business mode, and he just went to action immediately.
But did you see the crazy eyes? Mm-hmm. So we were talking about who directed, I don't remember the name of who directed this episode.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
But there were some different shots that were kind of out of focus, a little blurry, and then these kind of in quick succession, different, like, frames.
Yeah, a lot of playing with focus this week.
Yeah, and at first we were both commenting on maybe we didn't love it, but it did illustrate the sort of crazy eyes and the kind of maybe that he was coming undone, which
yes.
I had predicted last week. But maybe I predicted it for a different reason. That
why is that?
I had predicted that maybe because of Carrie and things becoming undone with Rabbit that he would start losing it. Mm-hmm. I didn't predict because of Jason Hood's death he would start losing it. But he kind of saw the crazy eyes. I was like, oh, God.
Well, he's been fighting it off all season, I feel, as, you know, after what happened to him at the end of last season, and he's, you know, seeing Rabbit everywhere he goes, and he's being haunted by this torture, he finally comes out from under it and has this catharsis with Anna at the house, mm-hmm. only to have that taken away. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's ready to leave town, realizes that he can't, that he still has people to protect, and he's given, you know, this opportunity to change this kid's life and prevent another loss. You know, it has been a trail of chaos and losses left in his wake that he's been wrestling with. And finally, something was going to turn out okay. And then Kai Proctor just does whatever he wants, and he can take away the one positive thing that Lucas could bring into the world. And he just can't handle it, especially because there's a weird, funny symbolism in Kai comes to Lucas last season and is like, if you touch my niece again, you know, no one will ever find you. And then his quote-unquote son, mm-hmm. at least on paper, makes the exact same mistake, especially when we're talking about this, you know, misguided parental instinct.
Right.
You just got to wonder what's going on there psychologically. I know they're not related, but it's kinda juicy.
It is juicy. Manas, yeah. What do you think?
You know, I mean, well, first of all, the director, I believe, of this episode is, I'm going to mispronounce his name. His name is Loney Parister, and some of his credits, he worked on the movie Drive, so he's very stylistic.
Yes.
Well, he wasn't the director of Drive. What did he do on Drive?
He worked on it. He was the second unit director on Drive.
Oh, okay. Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
and he helped with the visual effects as well. And, you know, and you were saying, like, it opened up with that kind of CSI-esque diamond shot. They never really referred back to that at all. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, we
that
did.
One. Yeah, okay. So, but anyway, yeah, it was very blurry and everything. I feel I'm in agreement with you. This is really... Now Banshee is really becoming black and white. Sheriff is going to town and he's cleaning crap up. He is just black and white now. I have chosen this. I guess I've tried to change. I've tried to evolve. F it all. I know who the bad guy is. If I'm going to be a bad guy too, I might as well take care of the baddest guy of them all.
Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily that it's getting more black and white. But it is an interesting question. Is it getting more murky or less murky? You know, he's putting on this white hat, but he's going about it in a very black hat kind of a way.
Right.
So, you know, is it more cut and dry, or is it just yet another criminal bent on vengeance?
Right.
And it's a lot of fun to kind of to piece that out. I think as much as he wants to be the hero, he hates himself too much to consider himself one.
Sure.
So this is more like, you know, this guy can't get away with everything.
I have a question for you really quick before. What if Siobhan wasn't there to just say, hey, you know, what's going on? What would have he done? Like, he had his gun out. He was ready. Would he have just went AWOL on Kai Proctor before, you know, Siobhan was like, oh, Sheriff, where are you on the radio? What do you think? Would he have just went right in and went all Scarface on Kai?
Great question. Matt and I were talking about that exact thing. Like, her voice perhaps saved him from himself.
She's the angel bringing him back from the brink, you know. Here's the thing. He definitely wanted to.
Yeah.
He's struggling. And that was one of the things that I really loved about this episode was this is the sheriff dipping his toes in the waters of doing the job properly and then realizing how much proper procedure fails someone like him and by extension fails everyone that it's supposed to protect, and that his you know, options, his style is far more direct. But ultimately, while it will hurt Kai, it will do nothing to bring him to justice.
Right.
In
this town, it redefines the term justice.
I guess that's true.
You know, because the typical term of justice, I mean, there isn't such a thing here.
Yeah.
Kai is completely insulated.
Mm-hmm.
Completely.
He's a brilliant tactician.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. All right, so I want to talk, you know, go through this point by point.
Sure.
We've got this kind of war on Kai, and then we have a lot of stuff going on with Gordon and Carrie, and that kind of blowing up. We got the Kanaho tribe to talk about, still have a lot to discuss. I just want to talk really quickly about iTunes, and then we're going to break this down point by point. I'm really excited about it. Well, folks, thank you so much for downloading this podcast. You knew that this was coming. You knew it. You knew in your heart of hearts. And maybe just some of you are skipping around trying to avoid it, but you can't. Well, you can, because you can control it. We're in the future. Did you know that, Oriana?
We're in the future?
We're in the future right now. Here's the thing. The Jetsons never could have imagined a smartphone. They had no idea that podcasts would exist.
True.
That you could stream them, download them, watch them or listen to them on any of your devices, because we live in the effing future. But the great thing about it is you get to get these free podcasts. We here at AfterBuzz TV, 60 plus hours of content a week. I think we do 67 shows a week now, which is an insane amount of free content. You can listen or watch any of it at any time. What could you do if you were feeling grateful for all this free
stuff?
Tell
me, what can I do?
You could go to iTunes. Go to iTunes, just rate the show, maybe leave a review. It just takes a second, doesn't cost you a dime.
How many stars would you like?
I would love 5 because I'm a greedy sumbitch.
Well,
okay?
Also, if we're producing an amazing podcast for Bianchi,
right.
5 would be fair.
I think we provide a high-class experience, you know, akin to what Gordon was getting in the back room.
Exactly.
Versus, say, what some of the guys were just getting on those wall benches. You know, we provide a bottle of...
A full service experience
exactly.
is what we provide.
He had bottle service and 2 prostitutes
yep.
who were totally going to have sex with him too, mm-hmm. right? How much money do you think he spent on that? Let me finish this first. because we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. I just want to give a couple shout outs. Russia 83, 5 stars. Great podcast for my favorite new show. How long do you think that took him to write? 5 minutes?
Seconds.
Yeah, five seconds.
5 stars.
Keep it up from Buffy Versus or Buffy VS. Oh, because Vampire Slayer. So glad that AfterBuzz is covering this great show. It's a really enjoyable discussion and a fun listen. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right. End of plugging. We're back in this. So he discovers the hotel room, and the first thing, he's searching around, and he goes to the toilet tank off camera. I'm like, the money's still there. And the money's all there. The watch is there. It's cracked. And he's kind of sitting to this tailspin. He goes, he interrogates Kai and Rebecca. Rebecca is just kind of shell-shocked, mm-hmm. and she's not revealing anything. And he's just like, really?
Right.
You know, I thought that maybe you were worth saving. Maybe you were still a person. You're really going to side with this monster? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm going to let you have it. So he goes, of all people.
To Sugar?
To Brock Lotus.
Oh, but Sugar's the one that says that there's a lot of ways to bury a man.
That's true.
Which I really appreciated, which is, of course,
the title of the episode. Yeah.
But I liked that. Sugar was the one that was kind of going, don't mm-hmm. do this. Like, yeah. don't be stupid. There are ways to go about it.
Yeah.
And then he goes to Brock.
And he's like, if you were sheriff, which is just twisting that knife, mm-hmm. you know, if you were sheriff, how would you do it? And Brock is like, well, I don't expect you to do it, but I would just shake the trees, shake them all, shake them often, all the time, all the trees. I've been thinking about these trees for years, for decades, trees.
Which, by the way, I feel Brock and Sheriff Hood, they really had a bonding this episode. I feel they were both saying, you know, in their own ways, I'm sorry to each other more than once, you know. Once, I feel like almost literally, and then a lot metaphorically the entire episode.
I felt the same way, but it also made me question, like, well, just last episode, Brock was snooping mm-hmm. around.
He was a snooper.
True.
And we didn't see Sugar share the information with Lucas Hood. So it makes me wonder, like, does Sheriff Hood know?
I don't think he knows that Brock was snooping yet.
And, like, is Brock left that behind, or is he still, you know, so I still have that mm-hmm. in my back of my mind wondering.
It's definitely something that's going to come up later. But I enjoyed seeing them team up, and they go right to the strip club.
And can I say, lots of boobies and butt
lots
in this episode.
Lots of butt. We had that lots one close-up of the woman doing the handstand, and then her butt cheeks literally separate on camera. This is something that we saw in a television show.
Yes.
Butt cheeks separating.
Yeah, and we saw lots.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, Monis. I was Monis. I was thinking of you because I knew how much you were enjoying it. We saw lots of girl. We saw some girl on girl.
Multiple girl on girl scenes.
Boobs, booby squeezing. Boobie squeezing. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Really impressed.
Yeah. It was definitely a fun ride, but it ultimately paid off. I find it hilarious. Especially considering what comes later, that they just march in without a warrant and they shut the whole place down.
Yep.
And, you know, they all split up to go off into separate directions and bust people. And he goes back to the champagne room and finds old Gordy.
Note to self, the only thing you have to do to shut down a strip joint is turn the lights on.
Yeah, turn the lights on, turn off the music, everyone runs.
I don't want to see that in the light.
Exactly. Oh my God, we can see each other. Oh snap.
Yeah.
Is that my dad?
Run.
Yeah. Is that my math teacher? Mr. Ennis? You know, this is the first time I think that he and old Gordy have spoken to each other, been in the same room since the season opener.
Mm-hmm. Gordon is taking swings at Sheriff Hood. You know he's wasted mm-hmm. when he's trying to beat up the sheriff.
I know. And I'm just like, stay down, man. He is going to light you up. And for a hot second, when he gut punched him on that second punch, I totally thought that Gordon was just going to start vomiting because he was so drunk.
Yeah, you would have thought after drinking like almost a whole bottle of whiskey.
And then he punches him for a third time, and then the sheriff just loses it on him and just starts wailing away, just beating the crap out of him.
Was I the only one that felt I wanted to defend the sheriff when Siobhan came in and was like, what is wrong with you?
Well, I wanted him to just tell her the truth.
Right. And he started it.
Yeah, because it... he was not necessarily in the right to, like, beat the crap out of him, but at the very least, he was justified to return fire.
Right.
You know.
He punched me in the face.
Yeah. He assaulted a police officer. There we go.
There you go. Yeah. That's
a
crime.
You know, a man can only take so many sucker punches, and then he just, the animal instincts just kick in, and he goes for it, full throttle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he deserved it. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, Gordon needs a serious... This was his reality check. This was his rock bottom. We hope.
I certainly hope so.
Jeez.
I know.
You know, realizing while he's out drunkenly watching strippers make out, his son nearly dies, and his daughter has no one to call. You know, she calls the hospital, then she calls her mom. And he's failing his family, and he's failing himself. You know, he's not...
He can't be doing a great job as the mayor, either.
I know. And what I find so funny, right, is, like, you know, Carrie's like, you're a good dad. And I'm like, BS!
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible parenting.
I think she's, though, is feeling very guilty.
I guess that's true.
Her actions... that it came to light pushed him into this spiral, and I'm sure she's feeling guilty, but I don't, from our vantage point, he doesn't look like a very good father at all.
No. All right, we're gonna get back to this because I want to finish Sheriff Hood's storyline first. All right, so raid on strip club, arrest all the prossies, all the strippers, everybody, and they got them all down at the station. Everyone's interviewing everybody, looking for this prostitution ring, this criminal conspiracy.
Name is Platinum.
Platinum with two M's. And I'm just like, I know. And I'm just like, she's having so much fun delivering this dialogue. I'm like, I almost wish I was a woman so that I could play that part.
I was
that
thinking
is so
the same thing
funny.
That I was like, I would go for this role in a second.
Right.
How much fun would it be?
How much fun? And I'm like, granted, I would probably regret the decision, you know,
no
to, like,
way.
Change sexes just for
oh,
a two-line co-star on a TV show.
She looks good.
I'm like, she looks good. And I'm like, you go, girl. You're my hero.
And cheers to the scriptwriters on this
God.
Episode. The banter, the quick,
episode.
Witty banter on this episode was to the next level, I
felt. Oh, absolutely. And we haven't even gotten to Emmett yet, and we got some fun with Emmett. So, ultimately... A lot of it's coming up short. All the prostitutes are saying that they, you know, they did this on their own, that there was no organization. They're flat out lying because they're afraid of Kai. And then we get a visit from this woman, this stripper, who Kai has been sexually abusing all season.
Right.
He was sleeping with her in the first episode. And then I think it was last week, he wouldn't let her get her check, her paycheck, until she blew him.
He's abusing her and simultaneously abusing Rebecca, because this is the woman that Rebecca
keeps seeing
him with.
Right.
That he is allowing this
Which,
bizarre...
Also, just for the record, there were a lot of strippers in the strip club. Like, at least 30 strippers. Can we agree?
Agreed.
At least 30 strippers?
Yes.
If he's
absolutely.
Pulling... If he's pulling this with all of them, the stamina that Kai Proctor has as a sexual being should be celebrated.
I was going to say, he has good Amish genes.
Seriously.
But maybe he just prefers this one.
I mean, maybe.
Every man has preferences.
I feel like he does it to all of them. And here's what I'm saying is he's like, what, in his early 50s, late 40s? And he's still rocking it, like, pretty much all day. Because of just how many there are.
But he's also kind of a sadist.
I know.
Do we want
to
celebrate that?
I guess not.
Just he's got good genes.
I guess he's using his superpowers for evil. His dick superpowers. Okay. So
maybe we all need to practice kung fu on a
wooden, big wooden
block.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Someone reached out to me on Twitter and they told me what that was, or maybe it was on iTunes, and I want to celebrate that person. Really quickly. Oh, okay. It's Nightwing Forever, who gave us a 5-star review on February 8th.
Thanks, Nightwing.
Yeah. He said, when you refer
Thank
to
you.
Kai and his training, what he's using is called a Wing Chun dummy. Wing Chun is a Chinese martial art with an emphasis of trapping hands.
Wing Chun dummy.
Yes. That's the wooden thing that he's always knocking and wrapping his
Thank
arms
you
around.
For that information.
Yeah. So, you know, he uses his Wing Chun so that he can Wang Chun all of these prostitutes. And this woman doesn't want to give Lucas any information. She's afraid. She wants assurances. And Lucas can't give her anything until he knows exactly what she's giving him. And she reveals that she used to service a man in the Proctor employ who would drive ecstasy trucks on runs to Philadelphia. So Sheriff Hood strikes up the band, and he's got Emmett and he's got Brock, and they head down to this junkyard to meet with Matt Sharp, who is a neo-Nazi mm-hmm. white supremacist. And all of his buddies. We got another giant.
Yes.
We got a giant in this episode, which is great. We had been jonesing for some giant action. Yes. And this time, though, Emmett gets to get his giant fight on.
Yeah, that was really nice. Because Emmett's rather large himself.
Right. And he tries to keep it all together, keep it composed. He's a good Christian. You know, you turn the other cheek. And I just loved this episode, especially when, what was it that Lucas said? When
he was like, how are you a good Christian? At the end? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about that, and then I'm also talking about when he's there. You especially laughed at this line.
Oh, he was just like, oh, don't hold back on my account.
Yeah.
You know, because he's like, I'm trying to hold back. I'm trying to hold back, you mm-hmm. know? And just like, oh, don't hold back on
it's
my account.
It's like, do you feel threatened? Hell yeah, I feel threatened. Bam!
Yep.
And then he's just laying down the law, and then he smashes him into the window of that car.
And Brock, meanwhile, is getting his ass handed to
getting
him.
Getting his ass
And Emmett
kicked.
Has to save him.
Because he's still injured. He's still injured from the shooting. He shouldn't be active. He shouldn't be out there. But instead, he's getting his ass kicked, and then Sheriff Hood loses Matt Sharp. He has to go running, trying to find him out in the cars. We get that great shot that kind of calls back a little bit to the field of wheat with
right.
our overheads, where we got to see, you know, that they were coming towards each other. They didn't know where the other was in this field of cars. Great shot.
Great shot. I love that chase scene, like you were saying, of up high, down yeah. low, through the cars. Beautiful cinematography.
Mm-hmm. He catches him, does a little torture. Great. Finds out where the factory is, but there's nothing tying it to Proctor. They do proper police work, to Brock's surprise, and nothing comes back that's usable. But Brock encourages, you know, Sheriff Hood, you know, just you got to be patient, patience and good police work. Eventually, we'll nab this sucker. And the sheriff's like, thanks for your advice, Brock. I'm gonna do it my way.
Sure.
Yeah, good advice. So he and Sugar and Job come back, and they steal the truck at gunpoint with all the drugs in it, crash it into the factory, and then blow it up. A little delayed.
With a little little comedy in there.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was fun. I always love – it's a gag that's been used often, but I love that gag of, like, the bomb's not – you know, press it a thousand times, like, hearkening all the way back to Looney Tunes. The Dark Knight did it. I love that bit.
Well, and I love too, like, the back and forth between Job and Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can't hear anything. That's because you're old. Don't blame that on me. Like, mm-hmm. today's yeah. episode.
I bet
was...
you wish that you had a bomb with a really long fuse and a match, huh?
It's so just funny. Really funny. I love yeah. their back and forth.
They're great together. What did you think, Manas?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, like, one of my predictions from, you know, our last episode is we were going to see a lot more of Job and Sugar, and we really did see that this episode.
Yeah.
And you know, and so in that respect, yeah, I loved it. And also that whole scene, I actually think the scale on that explosion was grand. I feel it's one of the bigger explosions, I feel it's the biggest action scene we've seen this season, and I was even telling, you know, my family and friends, it's even comparable to like a big action 80s movie. I mean, that was a big
oh, yeah.
explosion.
The explosion
huge
was
scale.
Huge, and we find out how huge, first of all, when that secondary truck explodes and it mm-hmm. has the wobbles and it's like woo,
yeah.
woo, woo, before it goes.
Yeah.
And then
it bursts from the inside.
It bursts from the inside, and then we see the crater at mm-hmm. the very last shot with Brock.
Yeah.
And that, when I saw that, that really kind of had the impact of how big it was what was left.
Yeah. I am dying to know how much that explosion cost. Because I feel like it's a combination of practical and digital effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that the whole thing was practical, that it was all a real explosion. I would love it if it was.
Fan Greg Utanis,
yeah.
We would love to know either the budget or what you can tell us as far as the mix of digital effects versus real explosive pyrotechnics.
That would be super cool.
On the Twitter, if you could
super,
tell us.
Super cool. Either way, love this climax as they walk away, you know, feeling like complete swinging dick badasses. And then Brock shows up looking at it in our post-credits scene and, like, is just kind of stunned that it's just gone.
Yep.
What? How did it? I mean,
what happened?
You know, because it's like, you know, he doesn't trust the sheriff, but I don't know if his first instinct is the sheriff did it. You know, maybe it's like, how did Kai find out and then blow it up so there'd be no evidence?
Right.
You know, but I don't know which actually happened. Okay. I feel like we've sufficiently covered that. I want to talk about Gordon. I want to talk about Carrie. I want to talk about Dava and Max. I am fighting a sneeze. And
are
it's
you?
The worst.
Oh, rub yes. your nose. It'll make it go away.
Rub the
yeah,
nose?
Yeah, rub your nose like this. It makes it go
like
away.
Like that?
Yeah, like that. It won't happen. It
if
looks
you're
silly,
watching
but
on
it works.
Video, it looks very silly.
It works.
But, oh, yeah, that's actually, that's quite nice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Carrie and Dava, they kind of reconciled a little bit, or at least the first little baby steps towards it at the end of the last episode. Now she's calling her at the hospital, and she's there to comfort her. And, like, I feel like we haven't had a ton in these two episodes, a ton of Carrie time.
Right.
After getting a lot of it in the first half of the season. And it's just great to see this family together. Mm-hmm. Even in this extreme tension, you know, Max's condition has worsened. His medication isn't gonna cut it. They don't have the money to pay for these new treatments. She's going to have to go back to pulling jobs.
Criminal lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But it often takes something extreme to pull a family back together.
Sure.
And
also to be okay with her past if her past can save Max.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In life or death situations, sometimes we make exceptions for certain people's behavior. You know, we can say, okay, well, if the ends, you know, means justify.
Yeah, the ends justify the means.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And if we, you know, they're not going to give up on Max. They're not going to give up on his health. And if they need the money, you know, I can imagine Gordon possibly looking the other way, mm-hmm. If it meant that his son can live.
Yeah.
You know?
I also really love Dava's outburst at the hospital when Gordon shows up drunk and with the crap beaten out of him.
Yep.
And to me, it felt like such a real teenager vent of frustration. But I also love that the family has been fractured to the point that they don't even try to reprimand her.
Right.
She's just like, you know. Like,
well, she's right.
Yeah.
She's 100% right. Yeah. And instead of talking down to your teenager, Carrie does the right thing of being like, let her go. Mm-hmm. Because she is right.
Yep.
And she has the right to feel that way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, by any conventional standards, Dava's future is just screwed, man.
At least I like what her hair's doing.
Yeah.
You know, on a side note, and how I can even tell how screwed she is, she can't even make, I mean, her ability to make a PB&J sandwich is horrible.
Right? What was that? There was
no jelly on that sandwich.
Barely any peanut butter.
It was
and there
like,
was like a full jar.
Yeah, it was pretty pathetic. Yeah. I mean, if I were Max, I was thinking I wouldn't want to eat that. No mm-hmm. wonder he's not running to the sandwich, but then I felt bad.
Right. No, I felt bad. For a hot second, I judged everyone in the house for not buying groceries. And I'm like, if I was a teenager, I wouldn't think to buy groceries. And even then, I wouldn't know what to buy. You know, even then, I wouldn't even be able to necessarily cook them all up. That was a college discovery.
Well, and also, Carrie is the only one that would buy groceries, and she's probably not allowed in the house still.
Yeah.
And Gordon's busy drinking.
Gordon, okay, can we just take a second and estimate how much money he's been dropping on a nightly visit to the strip club?
So that's a great point, because he's essentially taking money out of his son's health care fund,
right,
if you will.
And he's using money that the people of the city of Banshee pay him to lead them. He's using his mayoral salary to buy prostitutes and liquor. And, I mean, what? What do you think? That was like a $5,000 night?
Who knows? It's Banshee.
I can't imagine that he has
that
much money.
Expensive.
I know. I'm like imagining
maybe
Vegas
a thousand.
Or something. Maybe a thousand. Still
for
a lot of
for a bottle
money.
And two girls?
Still a lot of money.
And Banshee's salary can't be that high. So
it's
it probably
impossible.
Is a lot.
Yeah, you're right. What do you think, Manas?
But remember, guys, there's no sex in the champagne room.
In so Kai Proctor's champagne room, I'm pretty sure there is.
Yeah. He doesn't. It's not a champagne room. It's a sparkling
it's a
wine room.
It's a
little dirtier.
Room.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're right. You never know.
Yeah.
But from judging from his state and the fact that we know there's a prostitution ring going on.
Yeah.
That it's happening.
Yes. It's definitely happening.
And I was just going to say, from what the doctor is saying about Max's condition, it sounds pretty serious. It sounds really serious. He may not have a long life expectancy, even.
He definitely doesn't. And they should have, you know, they made this decision like we thought there would be more time before we have to make these decisions. I feel like, you know, when you're a parent, you don't have more time.
Right.
You have a child. I mean, it's just like, do whatever has to be done. Maybe they never had the kind of money that it would have required to have these treatments done. And maybe I'm judging out of hand.
And I'm going to take it one step further. And like, kids respond, everyone responds to stress differently.
Sure.
But you can imagine that the child reacted to all the stress going on in their family. And that might have precipitated an acute asthma
attack. Well, I mean, he was kidnapped weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And his, no parents around. He doesn't know what's going on. You know, his mom shows up for a hot second, watches him skateboard,
and then leaves.
Like, it's a terrible existence. Plus, if you look at all the Easy Mac and Cup of Noodles,
I know.
He's got a lot of sodium in his diet. That's not good. Oh, it's got to be exacerbating his condition 12-fold.
Totally.
Oh, absolutely. So Carrie turns to Job for assistance.
I know, and that gives me a bad feeling.
Why? I like them together.
You do? You?
I love them together.
Excluding everyone else when Job is like, listen, we said we'd stick together.
Yeah. Okay. That definitely could get ugly.
Yeah.
I love the pairing of the two of them. It's so incredibly charged because they both have such intense dislike for each other. You know, like they like and hate each other in the same breath, which, I mean, Job, I don't even think likes her in the first place. So just every time they're together, there's always like this great electricity. Who do I have to shoot in here to get an effing menu? So Job had some great lines in this episode.
You're right. I can see that. I like the two of them together make an interesting on-screen duo.
Yeah.
But my immediate feeling was like, uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. My question is, why didn't she ask him about the diamonds?
Yeah.
Because she doesn't know that they're just glass yet.
Nope.
My thought would have been.
But did she know that he even went to New York to fence them?
No, but she knows that he has the diamonds,
which I don't think was even brought up this entire episode.
Nope, mm-mm. Just the shot at the top, which thought made me think we were watching the opening to a John Woo movie, or at the very, but specifically Paycheck. It reminded me of the opening of Paycheck. Anyway, that's
and it
regardless.
Made me wonder what on earth are we in for. We have this crazy opening scene, you know, opening on the diamonds.
Yeah, this CGI
nothing
intro.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
I was like, where's the rest of it? What's coming up?
I don't know. I mean, we'll get into predictions in a minute. We got one last thing to talk about, of course, which is the Kanaho tribe and the ongoing unrest within it. You know, we see Kai Proctor muscling one of the guys on the tribal council very effectively.
I was going to say, that would work for me.
Yeah, you know.
I don't want my head squished by a car tire.
Head squishing, threatening the rape and murder of your daughter in college. Not great. Not the best situation. You know, I would be moved to change my opinion, is what I would say. I didn't even realize the guy who's trying to remove Alex from the chiefship is also on House of Cards right now, on the second season of House of Cards.
I'm on the second season of House of Cards, and I haven't gotten there yet.
Well, you got to catch up.
You know what? I'm watching five other
neither.
Shows right now.
Yeah,
so
please, no spoilers.
It's not a spoiler, okay? He plays someone in it. I'm not saying who. But don't. If anyone gets mad at me about that, okay, you need to decide what's worth being mad at. There are worse. People kill people in the world. I just said he was in it. Okay. But in any case, he tries to remove Alex, and nobody backs him, and he's really pissed off and shocked. And Alex just sits standing there like the cat that ate the canary. But now, you know, Kai owns him.
Yep.
He puts that chip in his pocket and pats it. He's like, good boy.
Yep.
You're mine.
You can tell that Alex, I mean, that's a hard pill to swallow for
hard
him.
Pill to swallow. Nola, nowhere to be seen since he dismissed her. But I have to imagine she's not gone forever. She's got to come back. She's too cool. We haven't ended her story. But in any case, things are definitely moving in a pro-Kai direction on the Indian side, mm-hmm. Anti-Kai direction on the cop side. Mm-hmm. Very curious to see how this season wraps up. We only have, three more episodes left, if yep. it's 10 episodes like last mm-hmm. year. Very, very exciting. Let's do predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Okay, Manas, I'm going to start with you because you're on the phone. And we have a delay and everything, so I'm going to lay it all out there, and I want to hear your thoughts. Did you see the promo for next week?
No, I did not. I only saw Brock, how it ended with Brock looking at the blown-up ecstasy lab.
Okay.
So, based on that, I have two predictions. One, I'm serious. One, a little bit funny. One is we're going to go full throttle on the diamonds. We have to see about that. I mean, obviously, Sheriff Hood is going down a black hole because he's thinking about that. He's going full throttle on Kai, but I feel that's in the back of his mind, and that's going to drive the animal in him to just bust the nut. Now, on another prediction is, this is totally side, but I feel at some point the entire main cast of Banshee is also going to be on True Detective, because I feel, you know, I've been watching that show, and we've seen Rebecca. Rebecca's, her character, Lily Simmons, has been a lot of True Detective, and also the giant Amish man who got killed.
Yeah, he was also on True Detective, yeah.
Yeah, he was also. So I feel at some point a prediction is we're going to, the whole cast, maybe there's even going to be just like a mashup show of Banshee and True Detective at some point.
I would watch that
show.
That sounds amazing. cool. So, Oriana, you and I, we did see the preview for next week. Looks like we get a lot of Emmett next week,
yeah.
Which is fantastic, because we've been looking forward to it. We haven't gotten anything all season.
I was going to say, Emmett is going to have more opportunities to be, quote, a good Christian, mm-hmm. like he was this episode, in which he gets to forgive his aggressors after he beats them.
Yes, exactly.
So I enjoyed that moment in this episode, and I think he's going to have more opportunities to lay a beat down next episode. And I agree with Manas that because of the diamonds, because of Kai's actions against his proposed son, he's going to continue to unravel. And no one can save him, not Siobhan, probably not even Carrie.
Okay. I think these are all solid predictions. I think another thing to watch out for is the continued downward spiral of Rebecca. Mm. You know, we got a hint of it this week, but I imagine it's only going to get worse. And I'm very, very curious and genuinely terrified to find out how her relationship with Kai is going to evolve and what he actually wants from her.
Yeah.
Creepy, creepy, creepy.
Super.
We will find out next week. Manas, you're still on the line. Where can people find you?
They can find me on Twitter at RestFiction. That stands for RestaurantFiction.com. Also, I do the Black Sails AfterBuzz podcast as well.
Okay, great. And Oriana, where can the people find you?
The people can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo, Instagram at Oriana Leo, or Facebook at Oriana Leo Official.
Okay, fantastic. And if you wanted to find me on Twitter, which, I mean, of course you do, you can find me at Matt Lieberman. That's MattLieberman. You can also find me here on AfterBuzz TV on a bunch of shows. As I said at the top, I'm going to be on the Resurrection Show when it comes out. It's premiering Sunday, March 9th at 9, 8 Central. I also do Helix and Lost Girl on Sci-Fi, Almost Human, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., another ABC show, Justified, and Cougar Town. Used to be on ABC.
So busy.
I know, and there's only more in the spring. Also, if you're in L.A., you love live comedy, eventually I'm going to finish my website, and I'll just be able to direct you there for all my show dates. Doing a show Sunday, March 9th, 6366 Hollywood Boulevard at the I.O. West Comedy Theater. Love it. If some AfterBuzz fans turned out, I'd be happy to.
I'm going
to
be there.
You're going to be there?
So if people want to meet me and hang out with me, Manas and I are going to be there to see Matt.
If you guys are still listening to this podcast, you might have turned it off already. Fanshee Party at I.O. West, 6366 Hollywood Boulevard, Sunday, March 9th, 9 p.m. See you there. Thank you all. See you next week.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily...
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Fanchies rule.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.